Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 46. This week's guest is Lena Kohlberg. Lena comes to talk to us about her mini cameras, and she is based out of Stockholm. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 46. Andrew?
It certainly is. I thought it was show 47, but it's not, is it? It's 46.
We have a slightly intoxicated Andrew Bartram today.
No, I don't know. My name's not Andre Dominguez.
Yeah, right. Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, nice lunch and a couple of pints of Fuller's London Pride. Fuller's is a very old English brewery in London, and it's just been taken over by the Japanese. Can you believe it?
Oh.
Not that I've got anything against the Japanese, but I don't think they should be taking over English breweries, quite frankly. So have you had a good week?
Yeah, I've had a great week. I went and did some, finished off my 4x5 Ilford, the FP4 I had in my holders. So I'm going to go out today. I developed that, and I'm going to go out today and try the Ortho Plus. That
That's just sitting in my fridge. So I have a box of that.
Yeah,
and it's sitting in my fridge. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say I can't find any development times for it. For
it's on the box.
It doesn't have it for Ilfosol 3, though, so I'm just going to develop it by inspection, you know, until it gets to the point that I like it, and then just note that time, and then...
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Because it'd be so nice to be able to go in my... Just to try... At least load it into the SP445, you know, and then I can just come back...
Or, now, why don't you do this? You know? I can't... Just check the time for ID11 or D76. Check that time, and then go to the Ilford website and... see for something like FP4 what the time is, and if it's similar to what it is for the ortho film, just use those equivalents for Ilfosol. I'm not explaining that very well, but you know, if for instance FP4 was 8 minutes with Ilfosol, check the back of the ortho box and see what it is for D76. And if that's a similar time for, say, Ilfosol, go with that time, yeah. Or just, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You probably won't go far wrong. But you can do it by inspection.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I've decided that Sundays are going to be my day for photography, because I try and do stuff during the week, and it always feels rushed, you know? So I think I'm either going to at least shoot during the week some, but developing is going to be, you know, kind of like my Sunday thing. Maybe shoot and develop on Sundays. I don't know.
We'll Printing see. Is my weekend occupation at the moment, so I'm trying not to shoot too many. I've said before on other podcasts, I'm trying not to shoot too many negatives at the moment because I've just got stacks and stacks and stacks sitting there, you know. Lots of undiscovered negatives that I've really not done anything with. And I think, why do I feel... I love going out and making photographs, be it with a pinhole camera or be it with a lens camera. I enjoy that process. But part of me is saying, you're just getting all these images piling up and piling up and piling up. Just stop it. Stop what you're doing and go in the dark room and make some bloody pictures out of them.
There you go.
Just like our guest does. So, our guest makes lots of lovely pictures. And Corey, you're going to introduce this week's guest, aren't you?
I'll try. So this week we have Lena Kohlberg.
Yeah, but it's not. Kohlberg, is it? Hello, Lena.
Let me finish. I said that wrong. I tried a gazillion times to say it right, but I said I couldn't get it right. So I'll let Lena pronounce her last name the correct way because I'm butchering it. Lena?
Yep. Hi. Okay, so for everyone who would like to try it, it's Kjellberg. Lena Kjellberg.
Yeah, but that bears no relation.
I was close.
That bears no relationship to the way it's spelled.
I was so close.
You really weren't.
How are you, Lena? I really wasn't.
No.
How are you doing today, Lena? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very fine. I took a walk through deep snow today. We had, I think, 10 inches of snow during the last 24 hours. So that was a nice and beautiful but quite exhausting walk, actually, in the afternoon.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited to have you here because you have quite an extensive library of images, and so your galleries are great.
Thank you.
There's lots to talk about.
There is. I'm very happy to be on the show.
We're very pleased to have you. We had a Diane Peterson, who was on the show last year. She has a I think it's her Twitter handle is Pinhole Queen. Well, do you know what? Having seen what you get up to, what's above a queen? An empress? I think you must be the pinhole empress, if we're allowed to be gender specific these days. Or maybe we call you the pinhole emperor if there's no male or female anymore. So I think the more I've poked around looking at your website and your Instagram and your pinhole.se site, wow.
It's a lot.
There is a lot to talk about.
I like these. I don't think it's pinhole, but on your website, the small prospects gallery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are pinholes.
They're awesome.
Yes.
They are pinholes?
Yeah. They're pinholes made with dry plates, my own dry plates, 9 by 12 centimeters. That's roughly 4 by 5 inch size. Sure.
So with dry plates, is that, sorry, I think you were maybe going to ask the same thing, Corey. Were you about the mechanics of dry plates? Is that on glass or is that on like a polished metal?
No, it's on glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm always interested and intrigued by the thought process behind coming up with a project like that. You know, like how did you just one day just start making these little houses? I mean, and just kind of go from that, or do you have a little wider?
I think actually why I started with those plates was because I got a camera. I bought an old camera with a larger plates. I think they were 10 by 15 centimeters. And with this camera, there was also a box with 9 by 12s cassettes for the plates. I think 4 or 5 of them. And then I sold the camera, but I kept those smaller cassettes. And they were sitting on a shelf for some time. And then I looked at them and thought I should be doing something with this. They can't just sit here. So that was actually the start of the project. I found I had the cassettes and I got a box, an old wooden tea box that would fit nicely with those cassettes. So I built the camera kind of around the cassettes to make a camera of a matching size. And then after that, it happened that I was asked to have a show in an office of an architect firm, a business. What would you call that? An architect
practice firm. Practice, probably. Practice.
So they asked me, would you like to show some images in our office? And I said yes. And I thought, what is my relation to architects or architect offices? And the only thing I knew about that, besides the fact that they design houses, is that they usually have, at least here in Stockholm, when you go past an office like that, they usually have these very cute little models of their houses on display in the window.
Or projects,
So I thought I wanted to do something like that, because that was kind of the only thing I knew that they were doing in that kind of an office. And I thought, I wonder what it would be like if
Well,
they're really nice. I like them.
We'll wait for Lena.
Lena will be right back.
She will. So, what do you know about dry plates? They're coated with what? Something must have silver in it. I do know about dry plates, I can't think what she's using to coat onto them. We'll ask her when she comes back. But you can.
I have no idea.
Because you had wet plates which were coated, and then you had to expose them while they were still wet, didn't you? And then there's. Would dry plates be albumen, or is that a wet plate? See, we don't know, do we?
Yeah. I'm completely out of my zone when it comes to the 10 types. And
I'll ask her when she comes back.
Wet plates.
When I saw these images, while we're waiting for Lena to hopefully rejoin us, Corey and I were looking at Lena's website, which is lenacolberg.se. And there you can find her galleries. And this is small prospects, which is images of these little houses. So if we can't get Lena back, we'll probably go for a short, early, unprompted break and regather our strength. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll be right back. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, mate. Well, we're here.
Lena! There she is. There she is.
Yes, here I am. Yeah.
Before we went to the break, Lena, we were exposing ourselves for the imbeciles that we really are and our lack of photographic knowledge. So I've read about dry plates and wet plates and all those sort of other things, but for the life of me, I can't remember what you coat. What do you coat the glass with? Would that be some? Well, you tell us. You tell us what you do to coat glass plates.
I got liquid emulsion. I usually use the Foma brand, which is what I can get hold of. So I got some of that, and then as I like to recycle and reuse stuff for all my projects, I went to secondhand stores and got some very old picture frames with glass in them. And I cut my own little squares of glass and then coated the emulsion on them. And they also would need some kind of you would need to coat them with gelatin first and then put the emulsion on top of that.
Is that what you did? So you got some, I've got some gelatin sitting in a big bag that I was going to use for some kind of, I think I was going to use it for sizing paper, but I've never really bothered with it. So, and I think I have to melt it down or mix it with water or do something with it. And that's the sort of stuff, is it? And then are you just brushing that onto the glass, or are you using a rod or something?
I would dip the glass.
You're dipping it in.
Yeah.
And you let the gelatin layer go hard.
So probably for a day or two, and then the coating, the emulsion also, of course, has gelatin in it, so you melt that and then you can pour it onto the.
Yeah, I've never used it. I know quite a lot of people who are using it, and one of our guests recently, Tina Rowe. I don't know if you're familiar with Tina's work. She's posting a lot of stuff at the moment with those oyster shells.
Yeah,
that she's finding it on the mudflats in London. She calls it mudlarking, but I think she would just be brushing that liquid emulsion, just brushing onto those surfaces.
Yeah, I think that would work. For more rough surface.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably you'd get some texture from the brush on the glass, which would not make for for a nice negative, probably.
Yeah.
No, huh. these are awesome. These are awesome. Yes, I was going to say that American word as well. Awesome.
Awesome. Nice.
So how long have you been making pinhole images, Lena?
I started about 15 years ago, in, I think 2003, when I got my first, actually my first pinhole camera was a manufactured one. I got a zero image camera.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first pinhole camera too, round about the same time.
Mm-hmm. and I really love it. It's really beautiful. But I thought, actually, when I tried it, that it's almost a bit too good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as good images as a lens camera, but not quite. So I thought that maybe I could do something. I should be able to do something worse than this myself. So that's how I started making my own, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's the same goes for whether you buy a Zero these days or a Reality So Subtle or one of Todd Schlemmer's cameras. They are, generally speaking, all using very well-made pinholes, and you do get very, generally speaking, very sharp images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is nice.
My first pinhole camera was a Holga wide-angle pinhole camera.
Oh.
Andrews.
No, I've just seen one of those on eBay yesterday for £65. So they're coming down. Wow. They're coming down in price. And you know what? I didn't buy it. How about that?
You should. Don't worry about it. You have too many cameras.
Not as many as others on the site.
Yeah, right. So Lena, what's your favorite camera that you've made? What's the one that you kind of will pick up whenever you're just whatever project you're working on, you'll grab a specific camera for that project?
I usually carry my Matchbox camera with me. I would say at all times almost, because it's so easy to take with me in my pocket or in the bag. So that's really handy.
I like how you crafted such a wonderful film advance piece of wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. It's just like, it's so simple and easy. It's like, what do you need? Just something to turn it. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. So, it's a piece of copper wire, you know?
Folks, if you go to one of, Lena's got several different places on social media, but this site where you can see all of Lena's cameras and examples of her work and a bit about her is, I think if you just type into Google pinhole.se and you'll see Lena's site, and you can see the Matchbox camera that we were talking about and some of these wonderful little square images.
Mm-hmm.
I think that camera on that site is actually the original Matchbox.
Oh, we lost Lena again.
We did. I guess Lena's walking around with whatever the version of her Matchbox camera is. These clearly aren't. Yeah. She's not mounting these on a tripod, clearly.
No.
She's just, it's very much shooting from the hip. There's some fantastic, I think these look like lith prints, so it looks like she's made lith prints of these images, and they're just people on the streets, aren't they, or almost like snapshots, really.
What, the acrylic eye?
Matchbox, a little gallery called Matchbox.
Oh, okay.
Pinhole.se site.
Oh, you're on the SE site.
Yeah. This is very folks have to bear with us as we're looking at all these pictures, but you can do so too if you go to pinhole.se and look at her wonderful pictures made by the Matchbox camera. So that's the one she has with her all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking, Andrew.
I will. Yeah. So we hope to get Lena back soon. My son, Corey, did you know my son is going out to Sweden very, very shortly?
Going where?
Sweden, Stockholm.
Yeah, you just were talking about it.
But I'd never heard of this band. So some of some of our hip listeners, if we have such things, they might be familiar with Swedish House Mafia. And Swedish House Mafia are, quote, a progressive house band. And they've just got back together again, and my son and Lena's back, thank goodness, because I'm running out of rambling stuff.
I have no idea what progressive house band music is.
Well, hi, house music.
House music.
Hi.
House music was a thing when I was going to nightclubs in the... did I ever really go to nightclubs? Let's say in the early 90s, maybe. So you're walking around with this pinhole camera, Lena, clearly not on a tripod, and you're just making snapshots of things, aren't you? Which is just awesome.
Yeah, that's basically what I do with the matchbox, that is. Because it's to be a pinhole camera, it's very fast. It has a, I think the aperture is around 70 or 65, which is, you know, on a sunny summer day, that's really...
That's a fast exposure. Really fast.
Yeah. Huh. So that works well without a tripod.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And are these on this pinhole.se site under the little gallery called Matchbox? These are lith prints, are they, Lena?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I think I have
to check that now.
But I think they are. Well, they look. Well, they certainly look like similar to. I was going to say similar to the results that I've been getting, but the you've got a lovely rich brown color. But of course, the lith process is so dependent upon so many different variables, including paper choice and dilution and exposure and. Whether you then treat the image in something else like selenium afterwards or carbon toning and stuff.
I like the one of the stoplight at the very bottom. Looks like there's a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's a winter shot. I think that's actually an 8-second exposure, the one at the bottom, also without the tripod.
Oh, it looks like maybe, is that a train behind it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was a building at first, but now I see
the train goes by.
Yeah, it's like a railroad crossing there. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that one. That one's awesome.
I was intrigued. Yeah, yeah. I was intrigued by the artist statement on your website, Lena.
Yeah. What is it? I forgot.
Did you write it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Let me remind you. There is something in the space between, something about places left behind, the most mundane views which go unnoticed. Would that kind of sum up your approach to photography, do you think?
Yes. Yeah. I wrote that.
So I guess it does. Sounds good.
Well, you're plagiarizing. Good. You're plagiarizing someone. We don't know who, but.
Yeah, I think I'm not a travel photographer. I take most of my photos around where I live, my way to work, and so. Sometimes I do take my camera with me when I go somewhere, of course, but I think there's something that can be... actually, I think my pinhole cameras help me see things in my everyday life that I don't quite see until I look at the images.
Sure. Yeah, because you don't quite know what you're capturing, you suddenly suddenly see things in quite an unexpected way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And during a 10 or 20 second exposure, things happen. Like, and you can't tell what is going to happen during that time when you open the shutter. But you know, not until you see the image, as I said, which I think is very interesting. Sometimes it's upsetting because the images don't turn out the way you want them to be. But other times I really, it helps me see things that I don't see. So I'm helped by my cameras in that way,
I think. And you're out year-round then, huh? Because all these pictures with snow and summer, so you're out just going whenever, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This series also, Other Memories, is awesome too. I like this doll in the woods with no nose.
Mm-hmm. Are they Pinhole? They are,
yep,
aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. And I'm jealous that you're able to get out year round. I don't know.
You can get outside. You just have to open the door and walk out.
I know. You're right. That's what Sundays are for from now on.
Yeah.
After the show.
So on balance, Lena, are you... What's yours between lensed cameras and lensless? What are you spending? Are you alternating between the two, or do you just, as your mood takes you? Or how does that work with you?
I would say in the winter time, it's more lens-based because there's so little light in Sweden at this time of year. So if you get out at lunchtime, you're not, you'll hardly be able to catch a pinhole photo now in January, or even worse in December. So I stay inside indoors to build new cameras, or to print, or I use my lens.
Right.
So that would be, I think that's kind of the balance. But most of my images are taken with pinhole. If I were to count the frames.
And are you holding, you've done some workshops or teaching sessions?
Yes, I do. Sometimes.
Because I was reading in the article from Alternative Processes, I think it was Alternative Process article, and it talks about people just, the guy who was writing was talking about you sitting there, excuse me, and folks just coming up, and before they knew it, they were making pinhole cameras and learning. So you presumably have a fairly hands-on approach to these things. Do you go and equip yourself with lots of empty matchboxes and boxes and cans and tins?
Yes, I do. I can't go to a hand shop or a flea market without seeing cameras.
Grabbing something. Yeah.
I love what you've been doing with 7-pinhole Billy, which, again, if people go to pinhole.sc, it's a camera with 7 separate pinholes. Now, I suppose any pinhole camera, if you've got one of these cameras, you know, particularly the large format ones now that are coming with rise and fall. So I've got an 8x10 with 5 pinholes. And you're just basically opening all 7 pinholes at once, aren't you, really, with this?
Yeah. I had to make it that way because the pinholes are so close to the film to make it as wide-angled as I wanted it. So I had to kind of recess, would that be the proper way to say it, to recess the plate where the pinholes sit into the camera body.
Set it back a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was with a you'd converted some kind of old folder, had you?
Yes. It used to be a Bellows camera, so I removed that and that with the nice big hole, 6x9 centimeters in front.
Yeah. Is that your daughter in the picture with the ice cream? Do you have a daughter?
Oh, it's my niece.
Okay.
She's now 12.
Ah.
So that was a few years ago.
Yeah. It's cool that it worked, that the 7-hole Billy camera worked so well with color too, you know, because just so much light being exposed at once. But
and you obviously, was there a lot of trial and error involved in this, Lena? Because you said that on the description on the page with your cameras, it says they're very close to the film plane to interweave the images nicely without getting so close to it that dark patches appear between them. So did you have a bit of trial and error? Because you've ended up on a focal length of 22 millimeters, f77.
Not so much trial and error as math.
Oh, actually, you use mathematics, do you?
Yes.
Oh, right. Awesome. Where we lost Lena again.
She's clearly way cleverer than me. That's all I can say.
I agree.
But I did just get handed a cup of tea by my good lady, so that was nice. By Julie, yeah. So folks, you can see all of Lena's cameras on pinhole.se if you go to the page, which is called My Cameras. And, yeah, 7-pinhole Billy is pretty unique. I can't work out how you... if you look at the picture, Corey, can you work out how the pinholes are uncovered? Is there some... Oh, it's that thing on the top. There's like
it's like a flap.
Some kind of... Is it a flap or is it some kind of...
Lena.
We'll ask her.
Yeah.
Lena.
I'm back. Yes.
So we're still pondering over your pinhole Billy camera. And how are you... Is there something on that camera which exposes you? You move something and all the shutters the picture open
of,
at once?
Look at the picture above it, Andrew. The Agfa piece of cardboard is the same camera and it folds over.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking it was much more high tech than that.
No more Sunday beers for you at the pub.
It's a patented flap.
Yeah, so, wow. Back to mathematics. Which means Andrew Andrew isn't very good at mathematics, but you know.
Well, you've got quite a good section. So this is really quite a good resource. I don't know why I've not. So we could thoroughly recommend this. You should make sure you link this website to the show notes, Corey, because there's a section here on building a pinhole camera as well.
Mm-hmm. The Baby Bill camera is pretty cool. Say cheese with the little round rolls of cheese, and the last one has a bite taken out of it. Do you know what Baby Bill cheese are?
Yeah. Andrew? Yes, I do. Yeah, thank you. So are you drilling your pinholes or are you using a needle?
I use a needle. Mm-hmm. I do.
Wow.
I usually measure my pinholes using a scanner, actually. So I do it by book in that way.
Do you do the push and then sand method, or do you just jam it right through?
I don't push, so I try to rather use the needle as a drill.
Yeah,
and kind of turn the drill, or more accurately described, perhaps with turning the pinhole bit itself. Keep the needle still. And
it's described really well on page 6 of Making a Pinhole Camera. So there's some pictures there of, I guess it's Lena, unless she's got a little model in there, gently turning that pin into the foil and then turning it over and sanding. And then you've got a screenshot from the scanner, haven't you, measuring?
Yes,
yeah. Wow. That's a pretty good pinhole.
I scanned the pinhole at 9,600 dpi, and then, as you can see, it is possible to get a good view of the pinhole shape and size. In this case, the hole is a little more than 0.2 of a millimeter.
Wow.
Since I will need a hole almost twice as big for my T-Box camera, I will have to drill and sand some more to get the right size. And that's a pretty round hole as well, isn't it? That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can tell.
I've done a few of those.
Yeah.
After some practice, it gets better.
Sure. And all your images that you make with them, they're all awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Are you posting most regularly on Instagram now, Lena? Is that the place to see?
Yes. Instagram is where most of the stuff goes, I would say, these days.
Because you're doing these sort of square, the most recent things are these four images, but are these lens cameras? What are you doing here with these trees, like four images together?
Yeah, those are made with I'm not sure if you know them, Lomography made a very cheap and crappy camera called the Action Sampler.
Sampler, yes.
Yeah. And I think it's quite nice to use it with no action going on and see what you can do with the camera instead.
Right. Well, friend of the show, Neil Piper, had a Lomo Action Sampler or some cheap knockoff. Even if you can get a cheap knockoff copy, he had that when we met up over Christmas time. And he took a picture of me with the Action Sampler. And there wasn't much action in it. In fact, I think I just stood still.
Just sampling?
But I think each, you get four images and they're very slightly apart in time, you know? So the idea is you can, you know, it just records you ever so slightly each time, slightly. But if you're standing still, you get four images pretty much the same, which I think is what Lena is doing here. And she's making lith prints. So if you, I've jumped to her Instagram page now. So she's been clearly playing with this Lomography instant action sampler.
Mm-hmm.
She's a proper lo-fi lady.
Proper lo-fi lady. I'd love to talk to her.
I would too, yeah, rather than just blathering on to me. She's using an LCA, though. You're also using an LCA, Lena, I see, with some...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a proper lo-fi girl, aren't you?
Yeah. That actually is also one of my favorite cameras. I've used it a lot over the years.
Yeah, I've got one, but it's broken. Mine has just stopped. I don't know what's wrong with it. I've replaced the batteries now and... You know, the shutter's not working. I mean, it's still making a click, but in low light, it's just make the click never changes. You know, so it's not something's broken in it, and I can't justify buying another one. Really, you've not been tempted to buy the 120 version.
Nope.
Corey has that.
I have that one.
Is it any good?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's very much a camera that I use for specific things. I'm not much of a just carry it around and just do a snapshot kind of thing. If I go somewhere and I want to do like faster speed, you know, night photography stuff, I'll bring it, you know, or like certain things. But it takes great images. You just have to use it a little bit and kind of figure out its quirks and just kind of prepare yourself for them because it has its moments, you know.
You're very fascinated by all sorts of sort of motion blur, following people around and snapping them either with a pinhole camera or a lens-based camera.
Yeah.
Seems to be a...
Mm-hmm.
You do have some static ones, but mainly people kind of blurry.
Yeah. I think that maybe it's just because that's the way I see. I see a lot of people just passing by, and I think often that, you know, what if this person may be someone that I should meet. We should stop and talk, and we should have a lot of things to talk about. And you just pass each other on the street and you never stop to talk. And sometimes I feel that that's something I need to, I want to capture in an image.
Do you ever go up to people and say, I've got this Matchbox pinhole camera, can you just stand still while I make a picture of you, and then engage with them that way, or would you rather just sort of follow them about?
I would rather just follow them about, actually, because I think that a kind of more static image taken with that camera wouldn't be as interesting to me, at least. So I'm trying to capture that motion. So that's kind of what I'm after. I think I would use another camera if I wanted to
do proper portraits. Yeah, there's just a sort of sense of being in the city, being in the, you know, people. I often, in my philosophical moments when I'm sitting somewhere and there's lots of people walking by, you know, I think, well, I'm sitting here and I've got all these thoughts in my head about what I'm doing tonight and holiday plans. And all these people walking past, you know, they're all kind of thinking their own thoughts and in their own world. And I have no idea what goes on in their lives. And as I see your images, I just think of that. I think, well, you know, there's just some guy there. I mean, he's sort of caught, you know, in partial silhouette, and he's made a, you know, he's helped to make a very graceful image. But who are all these people?
Where are they going?
What are they doing? Where are they going?
Yeah. I like that version. I guess I don't want to say street photography, you know, because. I like how the pinhole blurries, you know, and does that with their motion, and you know, yeah.
And Lena's making some really interesting pictures using film canisters as well. There's some pictures of film canister cameras on that pinhole.se site.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you look down on her Instagram feed, there's a. There's cyanotypes, toned cyanotypes from an enlarged 4x6 centimeter paper negative shot with a handheld film canister camera. So I don't know whether that's like a 120 film canister camera. I guess it probably is. Have you seen those ones? If you have to dig quite a way down into Lena's...
on her Instagram?
Yeah. Go down below all the people moving things, and there's some below the ADOX camera and a bit lower down. There's a series of buildings, and including one with a roller coaster. Hello, Lena, you're back.
Oh, I see it, yeah.
We just moved on to talk about the images you're making with film canister pinhole cameras. Mm-hmm.
That you found on Flickr? Or?
Well, no, actually on Instagram still. I can't. I'm losing track of all these different sites where your work is. No, I just scrolled down Instagram a fair way down. And there's a series of buildings, mainly buildings, and there's in the middle of that, there's a roller coaster, a toned cyanotype version of a roller coaster.
Yes.
And you used yerba mate.
Yes.
That's tea, isn't it?
That's tea, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Well, I'm never too sure. I've done a little bit of cyanotype work, but... There's a lady on Instagram who I've known really a while through, I think maybe through instant photography, Anne Silver. And Anne is produces some lovely images, mainly using, I think, pictures of herself. But she's been just getting into cyanotypes, and she's really going to town with it. She's producing some lovely images, like, you know, of her bending down, feeding a little bird and things. But she's toning them with tea. And I'm trying to work out whether I prefer the blue versions or the slightly brownie versions.
I like all of them.
Yeah, me too, really. So is this with when you say film canister, handheld film canister camera, Lena, is this with a 120 circular film canister? Is that what you're talking about?
No, that would be for the 35mm film. Really, or even APS. Those are my favorites. You know, APS film.
Vaguely.
The oval shape.
For a while. Sorry.
The APS has like an oval shape, doesn't
exactly.
it? Yeah.
So that would be great for. That would be 4x4 centimeters. How much is that? A little less than 2 inches square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I use those sometimes with paper and sometimes with. Lip film, sheet film that I cut to size.
Hmm.
Do you have favorite films that you're using with these sort of small pinhole cameras, Lena? What sort of film do you favor?
With a matchbox, I always use Omapan 400, actually.
Okay.
Which I think a lot of people do not like because it's very grainy and very contrasty.
But you like it, so
yeah,
that's exactly what you want.
But what it doesn't do well is reciprocity failure. Whenever it gets over, I think maybe 2 or 3 seconds, it's not like using Kodak T-Max where you take a reading of your light meter and then you go by that. And it's perfect.
Right.
Homopunk does not work that way.
Well, we think that reciprocity is a myth anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Sometimes. Yeah.
But as long as you like it and you like what you're getting from it, you know.
No, I love these. I love these ones with these paper negatives. So, yeah, the ones that I really love that image of the roller coaster. How close were you? How close were you?
I was quite close because that camera is also very, very wide angled, and the paper was curved as well, you know, so it sees quite a lot.
Right.
But it must be
I can't remember exactly.
It must be a fairly fast exposure because, I mean, it's pretty, you know, there's no motion blur there with, you know, unless you've got a steady hand.
I got a stand. by pinhole standards, I got a steady hand, but yeah. Not when I use a lens camera. I think actually it might have been 3 or 5 seconds exposure.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, there you go.
And then I, if I remember correctly, I actually peeled apart that paper neg, and so I took the backing. If you can talk of paper backing and separating that from the emulsion layer, so to speak, on the paper, and then I put the image in the enlarger and made a second. First positive and then a new negative that I can use for cyanotype.
I've never heard of anybody splitting paper apart before.
No. I thought everyone was doing that. No, I actually I thought that was how it was done. No, but it actually I think it adds some nice texture if you do it.
Is it easy
if you're lucky enough?
Is it easy to do without sort of butchering the image or
tearing it all up?
No, it's not. It takes some time and you have to be very careful. I have ripped apart some of my really favorite exposures in that way and it suddenly just came off in pieces.
I'm familiar with separating, you know, impossible Polaroid type images and heating the image up and peeling it, and you can get effectively a impossible or Polaroid transparency. But mm-hmm. Are you having to apply any heat to the paper or just?
I put it in warm water for a while, and then it doesn't peel off very easily, but if you do it carefully and well, it takes quite some time, but it can be done. Don't try it on your favorites. on your favorites first, I'd say.
That's cool.
But I like the texture, and you can see. I think you're not able to see it perhaps on this Instagram post, but looking at the print when it's a bit larger, you can actually see the texture from the paper emulsion on the image, and I think that's.
I think you can maybe see that on there's another gallery on pinhole.se called Film Canister One, which I'm assuming are some sort of self portraits of you doing various screaming at the camera and covering your face and listening and stuff.
Yeah, those are made in the same way. So that's.
Yeah, the texture really screams through. So you're projecting, you're using the paper negative then in the enlarger.
Yes.
And so you're picking up it's almost like putting washi paper in the negative.
That's what I was just thinking.
And you're picking up the texture of the paper, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And also, as the negatives are so small, this texture it becomes really. You can really see it.
Yeah.
From that small size. That those self portraits are also 4x4 centimeters, so they're really, really small. And the texture really becomes visible.
What paper are you finding is best for splitting apart, or does it matter?
I don't know. I just tried one one kind. I always use Ilford Multigrade.
All right. Nothing special then.
No, nothing special. The thing I can get hold of, uh-huh. which is that's what I usually use as a paper negative.
I tell you, the other images I've just seen, pizza box camera. Now, if I was going to, I mean, I'm like many pinhole photographers, I'm often staring at things in the shops and thinking, maybe I should have one of those and one day make a pinhole camera from it. But a pizza box would never, it would have never occurred to me because they're kind of really flat and really big.
Yep.
Tell me about a pizza box camera.
Are these like?
Actually, I was making a course in pinhole photography for a Swedish company called Moderskeppet. They make all kinds of video lessons for design and photography.
Well, I'd really like to know about the pinhole, not the pinhole, the pizza box camera. Have you seen those pictures, the color pictures?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
So they can't be made with, you know, like a 12-inch pizza.
Thinking it's like she's just standing up a pizza box and it's, you know, it's an inch or two thick and then like 8 by 18.
I don't know. No idea. My mind's just blown. I know the colors are just fantastic, aren't they? The colors. Yeah. So once again, dear listener, if you're bearing with us, did I say listener? Because there's probably just one of you by now. pinhole.se. And if you look under pizza box camera, you'll see these awesome, colorful pictures, almost poetic and ballet-ic.
Wow. I like the grain on them. You can kind of, you know,
I think maybe Lena's photographing through a pizza itself to get these colors.
A pepperoni. Are you photographing through a pepperoni, Lena? What's going on?
And I can definitely see some pineapple involved.
That's correct.
So so I think of a pizza box, okay, which is a big flat thing holding a 12 or 15 inch pizza. And you've just, okay, so you were starting to tell us that you were doing something for a Swedish design company or a video company.
Yeah, actually, they're kind of they make courses, lessons, online stuff that you can look at to learn a lot of different things to do with photography. And I asked if I can do something on pinhole, and I was allowed to do that.
You are still here.
thank you. So I thought I wanted to tell people how to make a pinhole camera out of something that that people would have in their homes perhaps at some time. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking about little boxes that I have. For instance, I drink a lot of tea. I have tea boxes and I have film canisters. And then I thought that maybe this is not something that people usually have in their homes. But quite a few people have a pizza every now and then. So I design a little box out of the pizza box. That's cool. So that's the final camera is for 35 millimeter film, so it's not large and flat.
Yeah, you haven't taken the whole pizza box and done something really clever with it, have you? You've just taken a portion of the pinhole of the pizza box and made a pinhole camera.
Yeah.
Either way, that's creative.
Well, at least you get to eat the pizza first.
Yeah.
And drink the beer before you make your pinhole.
Beer cans.
Exactly, because you'll need the can to get the pinhole.
The colours on these are just mind blowing. What do you know? What film you are using?
I got a few rolls of a very cheap kind of 400 ISO film when I was in Germany a few years ago, from one of their. I think they were like €3 a roll, and you can get them in large packs of three. I think three rolls were $9.99 or something like that. So I got a nice stash of that. But I know that film doesn't. You can't get it anymore. But I think I have Googled it, and I think it's. The same as Fuji's 400.
Well, there's some great colors.
But I really, they came out really nice, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're reminiscent of the one of our earlier guests when I started recording with Corey was John Wilkening.
Yeah.
And John John does some beautiful color work of folks moving through the city, doesn't he? And I think some of the stuff that you're doing is very reminiscent of John's work, or he's very reminiscent of yours. Either way, you're both doing similar work. And I see you're playing with anamorphic cameras as well. We've had a few folks on over the months who've played with anamorphic. Is this a homemade anamorphic camera or something you purchased?
No, I made my own. Paper legs too.
Well, you're clearly.
That's really something that you can. I can never. I can't get enough of anamorphic cameras because that's something you can never. You never know what you get until you get back in the dark room and make the prints. So that's really. I love that.
Yeah, Michael Michael Weitzman, who we had on recently, uses one. Quite a lot with his and making lith prints and these.
Yes, I love them. I've seen them.
I think the one that constantly springs out, and we spoke about it on the show, was his one of the railway lines going over the bridge where he's just got it. Oh, it just looks like the railway lines are melting.
Do you, Lena, when you do your anamorphic, are you just pointing it in the opposite direction? What you're taking a picture of?
We ask everybody this, and one day we're going to understand how to use the damn things.
So the question was,
where do you point your pinhole?
I would point my pinhole at something that I know I'm not going to get in the image,
right?
because that's how they work, and then. I have different. I have a few different anamorphic cameras, and they are. Some are quite shallow, with, and they make a long stretch of negative, and then those cameras make kind of another. Well, they have another viewpoint, so to speak, or if I have. I'm lost for English vocabulary.
That's okay.
you can notice. I made some of them from paper tubes that you would get maybe a bottle of whiskey.
Oh yeah,
in
sure.
You know that kind of.
Presumably, then Lena is she's on. So you've got your whiskey bottle. There's a theme here because you're either having to eat the pizza, drink the beer. Or drink the whiskey, aren't you, before you, or tea and coffee. You've got to consume something to make a pinhole camera, clearly.
Fun.
Yeah. But Lena will be putting her pinhole in the, presumably in the lid of the whiskey bottle tube.
Right.
And then the paper around the cylinder.
When she comes back, we'll, there she is, yay.
Here I am.
So with your whiskey cylinder.
Hmm?
Presumably, you're putting your pinhole in the lid that's got one of those lids that presses in, and then if it is say a whiskey sized tube, would you find a piece of in that instance, would you have a piece of paper that's kind of filled the whole tube up or just a portion of the tube?
I would probably use one that would go from top to bottom.
Top to bottom, yeah. Mm. As I was describing that, I was waving my hands around as though people could see. Isn't that weird?
You're drunk, Andrew.
I'm not. No, I've had two pints of something.
I'm waving too, trying to explain.
Well, you're both weird then, I guess. No. Or drunk, I don't know.
It's a European thing. We use our hands to communicate.
Right.
The Italians are worse. I'm not sure we've had an Italian on, but if we have an Italian on, we'll have to do maybe a video show.
You won't be able to see his hands either, though.
Well, not unless we have to do it on Skype video, because the Italians wave their hands around tremendously. And what's your darkroom like? Because I never like to leave a guest before we talk about darkrooms. You have your own darkroom at home, Lena?
I have a darkroom that I share with one of your earlier guests, Peter Wiklund.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Peter.
Yep. Oh, yeah, cool. So
we share an office space and we share the same darkroom.
He may have... Did he mention that? He may have mentioned it. I can't honestly remember.
He might have.
That rings a bell. Now you're mentioning it, a shared office space.
So maybe he already described that dark room.
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember.
It's not very large, but it's it works.
That's all you need.
Yeah. You can always wish to have a really huge place where you can make big prints, but then also.
I'm finding. At the moment, as I experiment with making lith prints, I'm making smaller and smaller prints, mainly because I don't want to waste paper. But actually, I'm taking a sheet of this Foma paper, which I bought in 9.5 inches by 12 inch size, and I'm out of that. I'm folding it twice and making four small hand torn pieces of paper that are just a bit bigger than 4x5, and I'm projecting onto them from the enlarger. And I'm really loving the smallness of these pictures, you know? And I'm using... The ones I'm playing with at the moment are some 35mm negatives with Rolly Retro 400S. And because they're such a small enlargement, there's no real visible grain at all because, you know, it's just such a small... Just such a small degree of enlargement, but there's a very beautiful quality to these small prints, and I'm finding smaller is the way I'm printing these days. And I know Corey does a lot of contact printing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like
small
prints as well.
Really. Yeah, I like my little 6x6, 4cm by 4cm, I guess, a little tiny. Little contact prints. If I ever can find the Ilford postcard stock again, I'm going to try and get some more of those and start sending out some more postcards on my
fives I've been doing. Is that not readily available?
I can't find it on the place I normally get it from is B&H. But I can't find it. I can't find it there, so I'm going to have to go dig more. I don't know if they just changed it and moved it, you know, but. Seems like if you type in Ilford paper, it should pull up everything, you know? I couldn't find it, but I just keep looking at it. So
I like what you've done with your Holga camera as well. You've made a lovely wide-angle Holga pin camera.
Yeah, with a very ugly shutter.
Well,
oh.
I really like that camera because... it broke. My Holga broke. There was something about the shutter that, so I just decided to do something with it instead of just putting in the.
Well, you've made something with nuts and bolts and bits of plastic, haven't you?
Yes.
And does it have a sliding? It looks to me from that picture, you just grab hold of the nut or the bolt on one side and slide it across, and it uncovers the pinhole.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
that was an old 120 FN or something, was it? Mm-hmm. It looks like it with the flashing.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Exactly. It looks like it'll be glove user friendly.
Yeah. I also like the fact that you can name it the Holga instead of the Holger.
Holga. All right, so we lost her again.
But
so
that's got a photo. That's got. Yeah, I think I'm running out of energy with keep losing Lena, not with Lena, yeah. But just with the technology this week. That focal length is 25 mil, which is that's about the same as the Reality, isn't it? So it's a similar.
Yeah.
It presumably produces this mm-hmm. very similar sort of angle of view.
It's I like that.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I like that wide angle. That super crazy wide angle.
But the beauty of the Holger there, I mean, you've still got the viewfinder, but it wouldn't quite replicate the because it's assuming you've got the lens on there. But it has a flash. I don't know if she'd ever uses the flash.
I don't know. I'm getting ready to give that a try, actually, with
me too.
Some flash and pinhole.
Well, do you ever use the flash on this camera, or is it redundant, Lena?
No, I didn't. I think I took out the battery compartment.
Yes, to make space and things.
Yeah, exactly. I did try to use flash with pinhole, but I haven't quite figured it out how to.
Well, you need to go and take a leaf out of Justin Quinnell's book, don't you?
Yeah.
Is he your fellow world pinhole chap?
Yes.
We haven't spoken about that. Lena, as well as being a very talented camera builder and image maker, is also one of the would it be right to call you a committee member for World Pinhole Day?
I guess, or maybe just a member of the coordinating team, a team member of the Pinhole Day group.
Hmm. Yeah. And do you get a sense of how many countries around the world participate in World Pinhole Day, Lena?
This is something I should know. I don't.
Leave it up to Andrew to put our guests on the spot. Gosh, Andrew.
I'm just wondering whether it's like one of those American things where they say it's the World Series and it's really just the Americans. You know?
Yeah, right.
No. It's not, I can tell you. Quite a few countries are usually in there. It's been an event since, I think, 2001 was the first. So it's been... It's been growing ever since, I think. Maybe not as many participants this past 2 or 3 years as...
Well, we'll try and big it up as we get closer to it, because it's the... Corey will know the date, because it's always the... Is it the last weekend in...
The last Sunday of April,
yeah.
The weekend before my birthday, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all right. Our involvement, Lena, with World Pinhole Day, or mine involvement with World Pinhole Day last year was meeting up with a bunch of Americans and Germans and what other countries? Or maybe Slovakia, someone from somewhere over there. So, Jaina, I don't know, how do you pronounce your name? Ueda. And Alex Yates, 7 or 8 years ago, started the Transatlantic Pinhole meet up.
Mm-hmm.
And a great international, they call it get together, great international something, I don't know, anyway. Mm-hmm. So it alternates in venue, and this year it's in Boston. That's what Corey was talking about earlier. Last year it was in Norwich in East Anglia, and so I was able to go to that one. Mm-hmm. And there was probably about 30 of us all together. And this year it's in Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, yep.
But just I know a quick it's been
the road for me.
It's the first one, I think Jaina was telling us, was in Amsterdam, maybe, or Holland, somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was Amsterdam. Mm. Yeah.
I can tell you now that the Pinhole Day website is translated into 26 languages.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Wonderful.
So this year I must try and make an effort to actually post an image that I make, because I always make images and do something on World Pinhole Day, as I do most days. Mm-hmm. But do you know what? I haven't yet posted onto the World Pinhole Day website. I'll admit that.
The actual day?
Mm. Wow. Well, I think you're encouraged to post up to a certain time, aren't you? There's a sort of cutoff point.
You have all of May to do
all
that.
All of May. I think well, even I should be able to organise myself to do that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And what's the website can people go to see previous... Can you go to a website to see previous images from other World Pinhole Days?
Yes, pinholeday.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can see the galleries from all previous Pinhole Days.
Yep.
From 2001.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And awesome. I think does it give you instructions on, you know, file sizes and sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, it does. There's a menu heading there saying how to participate, and you can read about how to, where to find the information on how to build your own camera and the requirements for file sizes and whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, before we lose Lena again, let's go ahead and say goodbye. Lena, you want to let everybody know where they can go to find you, your work webpage? I'll put the links in the show notes, but we always like to.
Yes. I'm on Instagram, Lomolena, Lomolena. And then pinhole.se that we've talked about. And then I have some of my work on lenakalberg.se.
Cool.
Yes, because if you said your name properly, no one would ever find the website.
Go off of my pronunciation. Yeah. Look it up. For sure.
But I think... now I've discovered pinhole.se. It's probably one of the most concise sites to see example images of different types of cameras and some very useful guidelines on making pinhole all in one place. And it's so congratulations on quite a valuable resource, really. And there's there's some links there that I'll be following, interesting reads. There's a link to Pinhole Day. Our friend Peter Wickland, F295 Solography. Mm-hmm. And then Photo Impex, Lumiere Shop, Mako Direct. So it's a very, very... And you can have the whole site in Swedish if you want to practice your Swedish.
That's what I'm going to do.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, Andrew. You have anything you want to say?
I'm slowly running out of steam, so...
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, you can check us out on Facebook, and that is? Andrew?
The Lensless Podcast Facebook group, which is now 532 members. We've grown 7 since last week.
Wow.
532 members.
That's great.
And you can if you're a Twitter person, you can find us at...
Twitter with you.
You can Twitter with me, at The Lensless. And then Corey looks after our Instagram site, which is
Pinhole Cannon.
Pinhole Cannon, yes.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
And we actually got I got a voice message, but I want to save it for next week because I got it like just moments before we started.
Folks can send a voice message recording. If you have the Anchor app, you can send us a voice message, or you can send Corey a message that you've recorded on your phone.
Yep.
And he can somehow, with a bit of wizardry, insert it into the show.
Do you know Mark? Jimmy Hickford?
Uh-huh, very well.
He sent us a message, but we'll do it next week.
Yeah, he was trying to come over to my house today to return the 045 camera that he's had for a while.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
But mainly because he wants to use my darkroom to develop and print things. Oh. Although he has just bought his own enlarger and stuff, so I think he's just starting to print.
He has to bring a six pack.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a six pack. No. But we're going to go to the UK photography show together in March. Me and Jimmy and Neil Piper are going to travel over. And awesome. The Sunny 16 people and 35MMC are organising a day at Birmingham at the photo show. So cool. We're going to go and meet up with Graham and all Rachel, right, and Aid and Simon Foster.
Better watch that, Graham.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, Neil and Jimmy are coming to me, I think, and then I'll probably drive to Birmingham. So that'll be fun. We look forward to that in March. So if any of you fancy meeting up with us and the Sunny 16 guys in March, go to the photography show site and get yourself a ticket. There's loads of discounts out there. I think the Sunny 16 guys are posting a discount on ticket prices. And then you can register on photowalk.me. Photowalk.me. There's a proper photowalk website. And there's Saturday the 16th of March, I think, at the Birmingham NEC is the meetup when we're going, and the Sunny 16 guys and Classic Lenses guys and Hamish Gill, who's now one half of the Hypersensitive Photographers podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
All right. Cool. Well, Lena, thanks for coming. It was great talking to you.
It was.
Thank you.
We hope you have a great week.
You too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Lena. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Yes.
Awesome. And your last name is pronounced Kahlberg?
Kahlberg.
Okay, Corey, that's over to you.
Kahlberg?
Kahlberg. I know the only Swedish people can pronounce it. So Kahlberg is perfectly okay.
Okay.
Yeah.